and welcome to today's Job Seeker broadcast. Our topic is, will more school get you more jobs? Well, are you down in a hole looking up, just hoping and praying for that perfect job to come along? Are your friends and family beginning to wonder if you really are trying hard enough to get hired? And maybe you're just beginning to question if you really have anything to offer an employer because no one wants to offer you a good-paying job. Well, if any of these feelings are true, I'm sure glad that you've tuned in for today's Job Seeker broadcast. I hope our show will give you an edge for your job search and just maybe help land that special position. You can join our show's discussion by emailing me your questions. My email address that is forwarded directly to me is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. And today, I'm joined by a special guest co-host, Tom Board, out of Denver, Colorado. Tom is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website, and you can see Tom's picture and bio. Just click Preferred Counselors on our toolbar. Hello there, Tom.
Hi, John. Glad to be with us you today.
Yes, delight to have you. And Tom has been assisting men and women with their career advancement since 1990, and that's well over 22 years. He has a master's degree in counseling and oversees his private counseling practice in the Denver area. Since 1990, Tom has completed over 2,500 career advancement assessments using the IDAC Career Match system. And, you know, Tom holds the record for the largest number of individual Career Match assessments completed nationwide. I bet you didn't know that, Tom.
I did not know that.
I just thought I'd add that in there. So, what's that?
That's kind of a fun thought. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. So as we get started here, our first 15 minutes of our show, Tom and I will talk about our topic, will more school get you more jobs? And then we'll take a short break and begin to answer your job hunting questions, which I received during our show. So to start off our discussion, let me define what more schools means. What exactly are the options for today's adult job seekers? Well, there are five options. Firstly, we can consider classes in one's chosen career field, but not necessarily a degree program. So that'd be like taking classes at a community college. Secondly, a vocational degree, which guarantees placement, something like a dental hygienist school, truck driver school, electrician apprentice, and many, many others. Then we have a college bachelor's degree program, and usually for adults that means a degree completion program. Our show is targeted to individuals that are in their mid-career. That certainly doesn't exclude individuals just getting started. And then we have those considering a master's degree or even a doctoral degree. So those comprise what we mean by more schooling. Does more schooling mean more jobs? Now, I'd like to just right off the bat give four reasons why more schooling is not advisable. And Tom and I have talked to about this. He's going to give you all the good stuff, and I'm going to be the bad cop sort of thing. First, do not pursue more schooling to find out if you really fit in a new career. That is way too expensive, and most, if not all, academic programs are really not designed to equip you and to help you sort out whether you really fit. As a matter of fact, they're probably even more generic. Something even as focused as engineering is still wide, wide open. There are multiple applications of what a mechanical engineer can do and a civil engineer and a chemical engineer and a biomed engineer and on and on and on. Don't you have an engineering degree, Tom?
I do. That was my first degree.
Yeah, there you go. And here you are as a counselor. Do not
Absolutely.
Pursue more school. Yeah, do not pursue more schooling if you are unemployed and need a job. This is not a good time unless you have a pretty hefty bankroll. Third, do not pursue schooling if you do not have a valid career direction. So you've got to find the person that has your job, and then with that in mind, choose schooling if you feel you must have that schooling to get that job. And lastly, do not pursue more schooling because a school promises employment after graduation. Even some of these vocational training schools that say we'll place you, well, by the time you've paid all your money and you're close to graduation, you may not exactly like what they have to offer you, and because they promise to place you, they're off the hook. So when it finally comes down to it, no matter what anybody's promised you, it's going to be totally up to you to get the job you really want. And I have consulted with colleges and universities and vocational schools. I personally have been employed in several. I know what goes on at that level. So don't kid yourself if the recruitment officer tries to convince you, you come with our program and we're going to get you a job. Well, with all that negative, Tom, you have pursued an advanced degree, and that got you into your ideal career, and you even have some recent perspective from your daughter choosing advanced education. So let's, you know, give us a little bit on the positive side of why more schooling is a good thing.
Well, I appreciate just the chance to talk about it, John. I think once a person knows that there is a path that they're wanting to take, they have some idea of what they're really wanting and looking to move into, at that point, I feel like there's three reasons why schooling can be very, very beneficial. And the first one, which I'm a big believer in, is just personal development. So if you recognize you want to, like for myself as a counselor, I was working with people in ministry, but I wanted to do more than that. I recognize that a degree not only would help me to get to an advanced level of counseling, but I saw it as a personal development opportunity also for me personally to grow. And I think that's always a good reason to be able to take some more education of any form, is to personally develop yourself in what you already know or some of your talents and your abilities to increase that. The second
one. Yeah, and I think that's an extremely valid point. A healthy employee is a continuous learner. And you're just, you're hitting that with a big exclamation point. It's a asset when interviewing for a job to give the impression that I'm a continuous learner. Now, you want to stay focused. I'm a continuous learner in my career field. But, yeah, absolutely, yes, that is a very good reason why to consider more schooling.
That's great. The second one, I'll share a little bit about my daughter's story. She had a bachelor's degree in fine arts and music theater, and she did that for about 12 years and was very, very successful. But during that time, for the last 9 years, she was working for a nonprofit in Denver here where I live. And that was kind of like her second job. When she wasn't working theater, she'd have that. But in the midst of doing that, she discovered that she had an incredible passion for nonprofit work, and this was dealing with a hemophilia society. And in the process of doing that, about a year ago, she just kind of came to terms with her own heart and said, I really would like to be able to run a nonprofit. And on her own, she began to do some exploring of some schools in town here, and she discovered a program where she could still be working, but work on her master's degree in nonprofit management. And I think one of the things there's actually two things that have done for her. One is it begins to open up some new doors for her that she would never have been able to have just by somehow starting the program as a nonprofit degree seeker. And the Hemophilia Society noticed that, and they actually approached her and asked her if she'd be willing to become the executive director for that in the Colorado region.
She
is. And so every class she takes, she is using on the job, and it's just fantastic. The other
hold right there. Are you saying
while
she was in the degree, she got the promotion?
Absolutely.
Well, that's certainly a benefit.
And it is a definite benefit. And it wasn't, she was thinking maybe she could go for a job like that in a year or two. But it just turned out because she had been working for them, they knew who she was and what her, you know, just what her talents were. And when they found out that she was taking this degree, they immediately said, we'd like for you to do this. And I think that's part of the third great reason for getting an education is the whole networking aspect. And the thing that Amy has kind of talked to me about is because of these classes that she's taking, and I know we're going to talk a little bit about this later, she has an option of doing it online or in class, and she has chosen the in class. And the reason is she gets to network with all these other students, and most of these students are working in some sort of nonprofit already. And it's just creating a whole network of people in Denver that she knows in this community of nonprofit managers. And I think that's the other reason why getting into a school program like this, it brings together people of like heart, like passions, and you begin to create a whole network with that.
Absolutely. I mean, that you couldn't have told a story better with that personal example, Tom. I've even said to clients, it's worth it to enroll in Communications 101 at a community college just for the benefit of getting to know the professor who has years and years and years of graduates that have moved on and are employed in the community. So that's network number one. And network number two are the students in the class. So for a job hunt, catapult forward, you're talking about a wonderful, warm lead to gain access to the inside of potential employers. That's excellent.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, we're coming up on the break, and I'd like to go through a 5-point checklist of how to decide if further education will really help our listeners. And what I thought here, Tom, is how about if I just read through this checklist? It's for our listener, it's kind of a yes or no. And if you get 5 yeses, then more schooling is a very good thing for you. Let's do this after the break. So we'll just take a break now. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
Great. Okay, John. We have a short 2-minute break. Today we have been talking about job search tips, but you do a lot more for men and women who are struggling with mid-career issues.
That's right, Evan. We do. We help men and women find that career sweet spot which can give their life meaning and purpose.
Well, tell me, John, what does a poor job fit look like, say, for someone in their mid-40s?
Well, Evan, that time can actually be one of despair or even great opportunity.
What do you mean, despair or opportunity? Those appear to be opposites.
Well, they are. A person in their mid-40s is beginning to realize that the first half of their work life is over, and yet they have developed a very deep habit pattern.
What kind of pattern?
Well, the pattern of going to work and putting up with less than a fulfilling job. The pattern of not looking forward to doing something with meaning and purpose. The pattern of seeing the glass half empty rather than half full.
Wait a minute. This is sounding like the old power of positive thinking.
Yeah, I guess so in a way. I am saying that each person has to look at him or herself in the mirror and ask, do I have what it takes to make a difference, to break out of the routine and set a new course?
Well, hold it right there. I see a surge coming on, and we have run out of time on this break. Just keep that momentum and continue to tell us about breaking the old habits and setting a new course when we have our next break, okay?
Yeah, that's fine with me.
If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDEC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
And so we're back to our Job Seeker broadcast. My special guest today is Counselor Tom Board from Denver, Colorado. Tom is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. And if you just tuned in, you can see Tom's picture and bio on the toolbar of our website. Just click on our preferred counselors. Tom, we were talking about our topic, and that is, will more school get more jobs? And we were cut off at the break, and I was beginning to get the introduction of this five-point checklist of how to decide if further education will really help our listeners get a job. So I'm just going to kind of say these right out. And so our listener, you want to decide yes or no to each of the questions. If you get five yeses, then further education is smart for you. If you get half and half, then you better think about it. So, Tom, if you could just repeat the question so our listener has time to think on it. The first question to determine if further schooling is good for you in terms of getting better jobs. First question, is more education the only way to qualify for the job you want?
Is more education the only way to qualify for the job you want?
Good right, question. And so our listeners deciding yes or no. Okay, second question, can you take classes while you are employed?
Right, so the second one is, can you take classes while you're employed?
Third question, are classes in the classroom with students and instructor rather than online?
All right, the third question, yes or no, are classes in the classroom with students and instructor rather than online?
Fourth question, have you met the major instructor, and is this person willing to help you get field experience referrals?
All right, a very important one. Have you met the major instructor, and is this person willing to help you get field experience referrals?
And last question, do you have the money to pay for this without jeopardizing your financial reserves?
Very important. Very good question. Do you have the money to pay for this without jeopardizing your financial reserves?
Okay. So with that quick checklist, I think our listener has a pretty good idea whether pursuing schooling right now as an option to jumpstart their job search is really viable. Before we turn to our questions, Tom, you and I talked about the subject that we as counselors get many, many times, and that is parents who have perhaps used our services for their career advancement now have sons and daughters in high school or possibly in college, and they're wondering, is this a smart thing? Should I invest a few $100,000 towards my son or daughter's education? And, Tom, you've done a lot of thinking on this. You've had a lot of experience. Why don't you give us a couple of pointers on how you advise your clients on this.
All right. And just first of all, for all the parents, obviously each situation is very unique and should be kind of thought that way. But as a few just kind of rule of thumb kind of things that I chat with parents about, I've actually had this happen just a day ago where I was just talking with a gentleman who's got a senior. My first question is always, how much focus does this young person have? It doesn't have to be super clear, but they have to have some sense within them of what direction they want to take. If a child's going to college just to find themselves that is spending an incredible amount of money on something that they have no idea what that's actually about, and so it feels a bit pointless, I tell a lot of parents it would be better for them probably to work for 6 months to a year and let them think about it than it would be for them to go to school and just kind of take classes. That is not usually the best option for a child because it feels not having any direction whatsoever.
Yeah, and I think the assumption that the child has, and maybe the parent, well, if they go to college, that's a good place for them to find themselves, and nothing could be farther from the truth. There are only five or six college majors that are really vocationally oriented. Engineering is one. Teaching is another. We're talking bachelor's level. Nursing is another. Very, very few on a percentage basis of students will gravitate in that direction. So you've got this huge 90% of the student body that are just floating around taking classes and having a great time at mom and dad's expense, thinking that maybe I'll find myself. And this is astounding, Tom. I haven't shared this with you. I was talking with an academic dean of a prominent university. This is the boss of all the faculty. And he was sharing with me that his daughter was just about to graduate. And he said, well, my daughter's statement was, Dad, I just want to graduate and chill out and then figure out what to do with the rest of my life. And I just sat there. My jaw dropped. You know, he was kind of like, you have got to be kidding. Your daughter should be focused and already hired into, I mean, this was like 1 month away from graduation, because when she finally wakes up and decides to start her job search, she's in competition with everybody who's got 5 and 10 years experience. It's kind of like, let's wake up, folks. And, you know, mom and dad are going to be the ones that have the rude awakening, scratching their heads saying, what in the world were we paying for? You know? So anyway, Tom, I cut you off. Keep going.
No, that's fantastic. The second one I have here for parents is don't get locked into one path. And I have seen this so many times where parents have one idea of what continuing education looks like. And there needs to be a lot of room in them to guide their child that can be in many different directions. I've had some success stories where seniors coming out of high school really don't have a direction, and I ask them what their passion is. I'm thinking of one gentleman, and he spent a year teaching Outward Bound in Peru before he came home. And and he came home and he said, well, I don't want to do that. And he said the next thing is, well, I'd like to be an EMT. So he did that, and he did that for a little while. And he realized that's not what it is. And then he said, well, I want to take a couple of classes just to get back into school, just to feel that out. And as he did that, he began to realize he was more attracted to the business kind of classes, took a few of the business classes, decided to get a major in that, started working as in a bank, and as he met some people at a bank, got into higher finance because of that. It was just a rolling type of journey for this young man, very different than right out of high school, going into college, you know, the next step. And just to realize that some kids have a very, very different path, and just help them to guide them through their passion to find out what kind of education is needed to actually fulfill what they really want to do.
Right. And, Tom, your first point, I couldn't agree with you more, and that is hesitate on sending your son or daughter to college if they don't have a passion, if they can't define, I am going to college to achieve this. And really, I'm going to take a real extreme example. Let's say your son or daughter wants to major in art history. I mean, there may be a handful of jobs that do that, and there's a waiting room, you know, take a number. That's fine as long as that son or daughter pursuing this education in art history agree that while I'm in school, I will concurrently do a field experience in something that I know I do well and I can get a job. So, in fact, the art history becomes the hobby and the actual employment, the experience for the employment is that field experience. The person graduates, has a bachelor's degree, but now has 4 years' experience in banking or whatever they've done. Mom and dad, if you know, you can pat them on the back, said, great job. You helped your son or daughter advance. Look where they are. They're way ahead of the pack. They have 4 years' experience, and they do have a degree, and they're loving their art, and on and on and on. I do have a story on this, and it wasn't art history, but it was graphic arts. And the mom was just pulling her hair out and, you know, what is my daughter doing? We can't afford to have our daughter go down there and doodle around and so on. Well, I can say today, because the mom and the daughter cooperated, she did get a field experience. She did get it in graphic arts. I think it was her sophomore year. She continued. By the time she graduated, she was being recruited by her employer full-time, has since moved up twice, is commanding a very generous salary in a job she absolutely loves, and there is no way she would have gotten that job if she hadn't done the field experience concurrently. So even something as, how would you say, blue sky as graphic arts or art history or photography, that can work as long as the individual does a field experience alongside in a viable type of work. This thing could happen.
Very good.
Okay,
really
any other?
I had one more thought, and it really dovetails what you're saying. And this is a personal value that I try to pass on to not only to my own kids, but to every parent that I, as I spend time with them, is to teach the value of work. And so when a child turns 18, the option for them is either you're working hard at making a living or you're working hard at school to make a living. And to begin to actually think that way for a young person to begin their mind moving in that direction, I don't think it naturally flows that way for a lot of kids today. So it has to be something, as a parent, we're guiding them in that I'm not going to be forcing them to have to decide how that's going to actually look, but it's going to have to happen one way or the other. They need to make a living.
Absolutely. That is exceptional. I like the way, say that again, Tom. Those words the way you phrased it was priceless. Say that again.
Well, it's going to be a choice of working at making a living or working at school to make a living.
There you go. Okay, let's come back after the break and take on some of these questions.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right. Well, we're taking a short two-minute break to ask John Bradley some questions about breaking out of long ingrained habits of going to work and just accepting less than a fulfilling job. John, in our last break, you started a surge to present a paradigm shift to break away from a dull work life.
Yeah, that's right, Evan. That is what I was attempting to do. You had commented earlier that this was a warmed-over version of the power of positive thinking, and actually I admit that in my earlier years, I read about some of the leaders in that movement for the purpose of looking for a nugget or two of truth. I did find something that has stuck with me all these years. And it's the power of the word believe.
Ah, you say believe.
That's right, believe. It means that those who believe with all their heart that it is possible to have a fulfilling career, they are more than halfway there. These clients just need some key aptitude test results, which they could validate.
You mean the on-location meeting with the person who has your job?
That's right. Once they find that person, and it doesn't take more than a couple of weeks, they can make the internal commitment to do what it would take to make it happen.
Well, what if they were way out on a cloud, unrealistic?
Well, that is what the counselor should provide, a sound, mature, practical buffer of what is real and possible for each person.
John, I want to hear more about this conviction process. I'm sure our listeners want me to fast forward to learn how it works. Can we pick it up at the next break?
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, John. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John has been coaching men and women since the mid-70s to find fulfilling work. I'm Evan Newman. You can join our discussion today by emailing us your job search questions. Those questions received during the live broadcast will be given John's priority for discussion. Our address for questions is jobseeker@idacgroup.com. That's jobseeker@idacgroup.com. John, let's return to our broadcast.
We're back to our Job Seeker broadcast, and my special guest today is counselor Tom Bard from Denver, Colorado. Tom is one of our 12 preferred counselors featured on our website. If you just tuned in, you can see Tom's picture and bio. Just click on preferred counselors. Tom, let's go to the questions that we've received bring up a particular stumbling block or conundrum for those in their job search.
Okay.
Can you give us one?
Yes, I have one here from Lisa, who's from Ohio, and this is very much dovetailing to what we've been talking about, so I thought we can kind of continue with that. I'm a laid-off teacher with no marketplace skills. Should I go back to school to get a job?
Well, you and I have heard this a lot, you know, anyone could say that if they're in a depressed area, and unfortunately with economic slowdown, teachers are one of those that have just really, really gotten slammed. But here's an interesting tidbit that teachers need to be careful of, and I would say this is probably one of the very, very few professions where a stereotype is true. In my experience, I have found that the structure of individuals in public education, this would be K through 12, the benefits, the schedule, the time off in the summer, the time off in the winter for Christmas break, those are unique to that field. A second feature that's unique is being in the community of other men and women that are highly educated and fun to be with. I know when I was employed in education, I really, really liked hanging around with my fellow colleagues. It just was a tremendous stimulating environment. Well, when I counsel men and women that are seeking to move on to something else that come from years of public education, what hits them in the face is, wow, this is going to be a 12-month I'm maybe going to get 4 weeks off, and I can only take time off if my employer approves that time. I only may get 1 week at a time. The people I'm around aren't exactly my favorites. Look at the benefit package. I'm not getting as cushy benefits as I used to get. And so there's a huge pause. So I would say to our listener, Lisa in Ohio, you must get acclimated, Lisa, to the marketplace and understand what the rigors of any kind of employment is. I'm not trying to paint a black picture here or make it negative, but it just in years of experience with many, many, many educators who are wanting to make a shift, they've told me that it's almost like a culture shock. I have to realize also that in the last 5 years or so, our growing size of classrooms, many, many students there who don't even speak English. English is sort of their second or third language. Their primary language is from Russia or Romania or Brazil. And so those poor public educators are really, really stretched, and they're just working hard. And my heart goes out to them. But it is a shift. And I would say in the context of our topic, Tom, that this individual, Lisa, probably has a benefit package that has given her some wiggle room in gaining some vocational education of some kind, career education of some kind. So I would take advantage of that immediately and use the networking of the instructor and the students to start branching out and looking for new employment.
Okay.
Do you have any other thoughts on that?
No, I really liked what you said. I think that it will, you know, one of the things that they have is just the ability to be able to relate well, and we've talked about that at other times, that just having relational skills is a very strong subset of being able to just begin the networking process, so to start using that. That's very good.
Yeah, and now that we're talking, an actual client comes to mind, and in her particular case, she quit and in a voluntary way because her husband had just passed away, and she was sort of like in shock and just wasn't able to face the classroom anymore. And so it's sort of, what am I going to do? And she came to us. We assisted her. And what was interesting in her situation is she really did love teaching. This was in her heart, in her core. And we were able to identify a training teaching position for a nonprofit that was a home remodeling association. And so she got a job. She was hired as the training coordinator for the Association of Remodelers. And after about 5 years, she ended up becoming the executive director. So it was kind of an interesting path. But she was one of those that had made that comment to me, now that I'm thinking about it, of the culture shock. So, yes, you can make the change. You've got to, as you said, Tom, you've got to assimilate and understand what are your transferable skills, those innate talents that you have, and then you've got to develop that network of individuals that are in that career field that you want to transition to, and a great place to find those individuals is going to be in that 101 community college course in that new field you want to go to. How about another question, Tom?
Another question here. I've got a gentleman, Peter, in Los Angeles, and his question is, my wife and I are thinking about starting our own business. Is this a good time for a pie deli mall kiosk?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. Is this a, like, pie as in dessert?
I think so. I'm not quite sure. I've not heard that before.
Okay. Well, it sounds to me that not only are we talking about an entrepreneurial activity, husband and wife are talking about, but the actual concept, this is not a franchise. This is a one-of-a-kind original, and maybe Peter and his wife are thinking about something they saw an ad for or somewhere else. Hopefully there's a template. If anyone listening is thinking about entrepreneuring something, there are two kinds of entrepreneurial activity. A, you are entrepreneuring something that you saw somewhere else, and you're doing it for yourself first time in your city, but there is somewhat of a template. There's a path. There's a trodden path. There's materials. There's examples. There's lesson learned. Or not only are you entrepreneuring something for yourself for the first time, but the very thing you're doing is brand new and original. You have nothing to go on, and that is much, much more difficult. If you go to any entrepreneurial coaching, training, assisting service, you will find immediately that they will say you need a business plan. And really the bottom line to a business plan is, who are your customers? How well do you know them? Is your product priced at what your customers are used to paying? And then how much is it going to cost you to produce this, whatever it is you're doing? It could be counseling, it could be pies, it could be doing home remodeling, whatever it is. What does it cost you to do that? And then when you finally pencil this all out, are you in the plus column? Because you have to get paid in addition, you know. And usually when you're entrepreneuring something, you can count on a minimum of 50% of your time for the first 3 years selling, knocking on doors, trying to get people excited. And if you have to bankroll that. And so don't plan on making any money to put in your pocket. All the money is going to go into leasing the office, getting the copy machine, maybe hiring the receptionist, maybe you got to buy a pickup or you've got to buy some equipment. All your money is going to go to that. It is not going to go into your pocket. Be very, very careful of taking out a loan. And these business plans are easily obtainable. Usually people like Peter and his wife, I'm sure they got stars in their eyes. They're so excited. They want to go, 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 go. And they don't listen to reason. They don't have a Dutch uncle. And I just recall, as I'm talking, an individual who decided to open up his own restaurant. It was a cafe. He lost every dime and went in the red. He lost everything, and he was about 45 years old. His home, the whole thing, because he had not penciled this out. And it was a very, very sad situation. And I wish that he had been a client. I just heard of this story secondhand because we had a mutual friend. But those things happen. And so you got to be really, really careful. So Peter, if you're listening, we are saying red flag, red flag. Please do your homework before you entrepreneur something.
Very good. Do we have time for another one?
Oh yeah, you bet.
All right, let's do. I have one here from Carolyn in Washington. Her question is, I got a new job 6 months ago. My new boss and I are not getting along. Should I stay or start looking? It took me a long time to get this job.
Let's pick that up after the break, Tom. It's an excellent question.
Excellent.
So we're taking a short 2-minute break at the final quarter of our show to ask John Bradley how one can break out of the deep ingrained habit pattern of doing a dull job and choose to do something different. John, you made it sound so simple. You said all you have to do is believe.
Well, that's right, Evan. You recall the example to illustrate this point of what it means to believe. It's about the guy who says, I will cross Niagara Falls on a tight wire pushing a wheelbarrow. This person has done the act many times at the state fair, but now he wants to do Niagara Falls.
Okay. I recall the illustration, and then the observer is asked, do you believe he can do it?
Yep, that's it. The observer shrugs his shoulders and says, yeah, sure. He has done it before, no big deal. And then the question comes back to the observer. Well, if you believe he can, well then hop in the wheelbarrow.
Okay, so it is that type of committed belief that it takes to break free of the deep ingrained habits of doing a dull job.
That's right.
So how does one muster up that belief to get there? Take an energy drink?
Well, we can think each step of that belief process needs to come in more bite-sized chunks, sort of like how do you eat an elephant, one bite at a time.
Okay, so what are the bites?
Well, the first bite is to discover how you are gifted with innate talent. Also, that your passion or inner stirring combined with that talent points to a valid actual career.
Okay, that's a good start. A person gets actual career titles on a printout report which your career match system provides.
That's right. Then we say, don't change any habits, don't quit your job right now. Just locate at least three people who each are in one of the different careers you like the most from our list.
Now, what do you mean, the list?
Well, after testing, we provide for our client a list of the top 10 best career matches from over 90,000 options, and they select the three from the 10 they want to research first.
Okay, and from that preferred selection, they go to meet the person in each of their careers to ultimately find the person who has their job.
That's right.
I get it. It is by meeting that person that the emotions come to play.
That's right. Like, I can't live without this new job. For the first time, I get to be free to be the real me and get paid for it. I want it now more than that lousy, dull job that I'm doing.
Okay, and is there still a higher level of belief to make that happen?
Well, yes. The final stage is counting the cost of what it will take to get hired. The counselor needs to map it out, and this means if you really want this job, here is what it will take to get hired.
Okay, I get it. And then the belief sets in. I can do this. All I need is the dedication.
That's right. You said it correctly.
John, this has been a most interesting journey.
Well, thanks, Evan.
I want to encourage any of you who are feeling the drudgery of a job which lacks meaning and purpose to go to our website, www.idacgroup.com, and make contact with one of our preferred counselors. Each of these seasoned men and women are professionals at helping you discover your wiring and find the best of 90,000 career options. You will see the references, preferred counselors, at the top of our toolbar. John, we still have the last quarter of your show. Let's return to advice for the job seeker. If you just tuned in, our Job Seeker Weekly broadcast is sponsored by the IDAC Group, hosted by job search and career advancement expert John Bradley, who has been coaching men and women to advance beyond dull jobs to find fulfilling work since the mid-1970s. I'm Evan Newman, and now, John, let's return to the final quarter of our show.
And so we're back to the final quarter of our Job Seeker broadcast. My special guest today is Counselor Tom Board from Denver, Colorado. Tom, just before the break, you read a question from Carolyn in Washington. Why don't you give that to us again?
All right, be glad to. Carolyn says, I got a new job 6 months ago. My new boss and I are not getting along. Should I stay or start looking? It took me a long time to get this job.
Wow. Well, my heart goes out to Carolyn. This is a very, very difficult situation. And I would guess that if somebody took their time to express this angst, there's been some stress going on and some questioning and doubting maybe way back in the first, second, third, fifth week. So I'm assuming this has been going on for quite a while, and possibly there may be some energy that Carolyn is having to exert to just keep a lid on it and just grit her teeth to do the job that she's paid to do. We don't know the circumstances of what's going on with the new boss, but I would say that it's time for Carolyn to go back to the original contacts that she had been networking with before she got this job. She indicated that it's taken her a long time to get this job, so she must have a good number of people that over the past year or so she's been talking to, and she needs to sort of warm those contacts up. So the question comes up, well, what in the world is she going to say? Because maybe she's told a lot of people, hey, I finally got hired. I really got the perfect job. Am I so excited? Well, my suggested script, and this is sort of, we call it the story, or sometimes referred to as the elevator speech. For the past 6 months, I've had the opportunity to serve in a capacity where I'm assisting an organization do this and this and this. And I'm realizing that the project is probably going to wind down or come to a close. And so I'm wanting to revisit my contacts to see what possibilities might be there. I mean, that's about as euphemistic as you can get in trying to sugarcoat a difficult situation. What does not work, this is really, really a no-no, is to bad mouth that employer. Any other employer out there is going to be on the bad boss's side because they're used to being labeled as tough and mean and unreasonable. So a new employer is always going to take the side of the boss you're not getting along with. So you have to rephrase the situation so that it's something that you are voluntarily choosing to do, and you're not doing it because you don't get along with your boss. Occasionally, when the circumstances are appropriate, I will coach someone with the following script. Mr. Jones, I'm sure you've experienced this, but in past employment, I've had situations where I could sense that I had made a mistake and I was not getting along, or possibly the person that hired me was great, but after 2 years, a new person came on and we weren't getting along. And so I'm unfortunately caught in one of those situations. What I had assumed were the terms of employment and the management structure just have not worked out to be what they are. And so it's brought me to a place where I just need to move on, and I really prefer not to go into the details of this. If you look at my employment history, it's a very solid. I've worked long-term in many positions. Now, let's turn the corner because we don't know Carol and Tom, and let's say, what if Carolyn, as you look at her employment history, she's got a new job every year? Well, now we do have a problem. And so you as a counselor, you're going to want to be, I'm sure, thinking about, well, wait a minute, maybe there are some job performance issues, negative issues that Carolyn is exhibiting, right, Tom?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, and so we need to get some attention to that, but Carolyn still has an issue. I got to make some money. And so there is one way to totally clean the slate, just almost like we're going to start from scratch and erase all the problems of the past, and it is our topic for today. The world loves a student. And so if Carolyn does have some rocky history, including her present situation, becoming a student again helps you kind of clean the slate and start afresh. And especially if you're, instead of job hunting, you're hunting for a field experience, which then will lead to full-time employment. So those are a couple options. But one final thing, Tom, on this is, by all means, Carolyn should not get out of, unless it's really, really a bad situation, her health and safety and so on are in jeopardy, she ought to hang on to this job before she walks away and goes to another. And so she needs to go revisit her old acquaintances and keep churning those networks, but still get the paycheck, because she said it's been a long time to get the job. So I'm assuming that the bank balance is down pretty low, and she does need income to get back on her feet again. Any thoughts, further thoughts on that, Tom, before we go to another job seeker question?
No, I really like your thoughts on that, John. I think where my mind had gone also was the whole idea of going back to school as a way of kind of starting over. But I think your comments as far as how to handle the particular kind of settings is just very good. So I like that.
Let me
take one more here. Yep, go ahead.
Go ahead.
All right. I have another lady here. Her name is Barbara from Seattle. And she says, my son does carpentry work, but home construction is slow. What can he do to get more work?
So this person is saying, how to get more customers, I guess, for the construction.
Okay.
Well, we've already touched on a very viable source of, quote, customers, and that's fellow students in the classroom, and even more specifically in this case, the instructor, him or herself. So any carpentry, construction, woodworking class is going to be a source of new network leads. And that, unfortunately, we're out of time, Tom. Thank you so much for today's broadcast.
And so that finishes up our Job Seeker broadcast for this week. Our host has been job search and career advancement expert John Bradley. John is president and founder of the IDAC Group. He has been helping mid-career women find their sweet spot since 1973. In addition to counseling mid-career men and women, John has authored 4 career advancement books. The IDAC Group has assisted over 30,000 career seekers nationwide, and John has personally trained over 600 counselors, college professors, and consultants in career advancement and job search. He has personally selected 12 of these 600, whom he features as preferred counselors, on his website. These men and women are independent practitioners whom John has personally trained. They are not employees nor affiliated with the IDAC Group. They have not paid any fee to be featured on this broadcast nor on IDAC's website. They are good, honest professionals who have gained John's approval over many years of successful practice. I'm Evan Newman, and I encourage you to join us next week at the same time for our next live broadcast. I think all of us know someone who is unemployed or frustrated in their job search. Why not send them a tweet, email, or Facebook note about our free broadcast? Maybe your friend can learn something which will land them that next job. We invite you to participate in our broadcast by sending your job search questions during our live broadcast. Those questions received during the live broadcast will receive John's priority attention. Thanks for listening. Best wishes, and may God bless you in your job search.